crooked up my chimney hole, looked down deep inside my toilet bowl, they got away. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are having a conversation in the first part of this program right now about what is the controversy swirling around Marilyn Mosby. Marilyn Mosby, of course, after she delivered her charges against the six police officers, was immediately criticized by the police union. But then a flurry of criticism came from members of the legal community all around Baltimore and actually around the country, saying that what she did was a rush to judgment, what she did was not legal or ethical, that many people were believing she should recuse herself because of her marriage to the city councilman who represents the district where all this erupted, and that hers was a political move. So a battle has ensued. What does that battle mean? Did she really do something wrong? It's interesting to hear the kind of breadth of critique that has come from left to right in the legal community. But then many lawyers of color and many lawyers who are on the left saying, no, she did the right thing. So what did she do here? And we're going to talk about that and other issues that have just come up recently. We are joined here by J. Wendell Gordon, a noted Baltimore attorney, and Tom Moronic, Baltimore attorney and host of the Tom Moore Show on WCBM. And Wendell and Tom, good to have you both with us.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
And the number here is 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can tweet me at Mark Steiner. And you can also log on to our Facebook pages. But please call 410-319-8888 to join our conversation. And also we're joined by Tara Conley. I'm sorry that they didn't see on the guest list there for a moment. Tara, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Good morning.
You've been writing a great deal. So we'll get to all of you here. But let's talk about this. I mean, I think that folks, I do want to hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888. There are so many critiques that have come out about what happened with Marilyn Mosby's announcement, to the point where many people are saying she violated code, and that she needs to recuse herself. And I know you're one of the critics, Tom. Let me begin with you.
Well, I have said that, first of all, while I don't think she should have had to recuse herself, I was concerned about the fact that this happened. Hirschwitz is one of the people who said this is good crowd control, but it is not good lawyering. And I think the question is, and what Marilyn really needs to do if she's going to do this, is to come. Our independent investigation had more information than what I let out. And I'm not trying to put all of my cards on the table right now. The thing was, you had a mob of people screaming for justice for Freddie Gray. And granted, I think a lot of people supported that. But as the prosecutor, obviously, step aside from it and be looking to see if the charges are substantiated. The other thing about Marilyn, and again, it's a really tough job she has, is making an appearance at the Prince concert, I think, was not the best thing for her. Again, it really depends on what she has that she hasn't put out. Lastly, as far as she's elected to do this job. This is the job she's supposed to do. And I understand why the police would say that, but I think Marilyn has a responsibility to do this. So I did not think she had to recuse herself.
So, Jay Wendell, let me hear your critique of what's going on.
You know, I don't have a problem with anything that Marilyn Mosby has done here, of course. She should not recuse herself. She gave the people limited information. I think who we need to critique are those lawyers who critique this judicial officer, because that runs into the very shadowy ground of violating our own professional codes of ethics. I was surprised to see and hear all these lawyers making these scurrilous accusations about a judicial professional, the judicial official, when they know that reckless statements about a judicial officer violates 8.2 of our code of professional conduct. So I think the people who need to be more concerned about their ethics are the ones who are hurling all these baseless accusations rather than Marilyn Mosby.
Tara, you've been covering this. I'll get your analysis up front before we open the phones.
Sure, yeah. So
well,
I think what I think
go ahead, Tara.
Going on here. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tara.
Yes, I
think
I'm going to Tara. Tara Conley.
I'm sorry,
So I think part of this issue about whether she was trans or not, whether she was at the Prince concert and her husband. I think those are kind of issues that derail us from what is actually happened. I absolutely applaud Mosley for creating an independent investigation and holding people accountable. She does have a tough job. I absolutely agree with that. Certainly, we want to urge her to continue to have sort of a race-explicit focus on what's happening in Baltimore, continuing to pressure the police department, continuing to bring up these issues, which are very systemic in nature. I think the other stuff, that's just noise, and I understand why it's part of the conversation. I understand why media folks want to talk about it. But what she has done is very unusual for a local prosecutor. And majority of Americans, according to a recent Pew Research study, agree that bringing charges against those officers was the right thing to do. So I think we should stay focused on that. She's going to get criticism either way, but I also do applaud her for what she's doing.
I think that there are two issues here, and I don't know if they're separate or the same. Tara, I think you just put your finger on the heart of that issue. And the question was, the battle seems to be a political one, a political decision made by the state's attorney that some people are saying are an incorrect judicial decision or judicial decision that was overly political. And I think that part of it has to do with the fact that we are in the midst of an unprecedented case where all these police officers were indicted. It didn't happen with Amadou Diallo. It didn't happen with anybody else around the country over the years. So this is what I think has got everybody rankled. And so what I'm trying to parse out for our listeners is what the reality is. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that and people are very confused by this because they see noted lawyers from around the country saying that her call for no justice, no peace to Freddie Gray's family, saying she was doing this for Freddie Gray's family was something that a state attorney should not do since her client is the state and not the family. I mean, things like that. So that was where the politics kind of slides into the law here, and that's the part I think I'd like to parse out both politically and historically and what it means. And Tom, I'll go to you first and go back around our room.
Well, again, she's the elected state attorney. And I will put, my own bias out there. I mean, I supported her in her run. And I think this is the job she is supposed to be doing. I mean, again, whether or not she gets a conviction is a totally different story. But if Marilyn believed from her own independent investigation that she had enough to charge these officers, she had a right to do it. My issue is, as far as the difficulty of getting conviction, I'm not sure about the specificity. I think, again, if her investigation had more on that, maybe there's things that will still come out. But you have six officers who are charged with a variety of crimes. And I think the difficulty she's going to run into is being able to prove the specificity as to what officer did what. If a certain officer ignored Freddie Gray's calls for help, at what time did that happen? Which specific officer did that? Because that beyond a reasonable doubt burden is very, very hard. That's a tough burden for the state in any case. And, especially a case like this with all the media attention. But again, I mean, if she felt she had the reasons to do it, if she had enough there, fine. But I think where the criticism is coming from is the law professors and attorneys outside the state of Maryland that Jay Wendell's referring to. I mean, they're looking at just what she's put out.
I'm the ones in the state of Maryland, too.
Well, some of the ones in the state, too, maybe you were criticizing.
Yes, absolutely.
But either way, I think they're going off of what she had. Yeah.
I would say that all cases, there's no such thing as a slam dunk case. So if you want Marilyn Mosley to go to trial and just issue you a slam dunk, you're not going to get it. Defense attorneys are very skilled, myself included, and we have ways of making things not go the way the prosecutors plan. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a credible case or a meritorious case. That means that, defense attorneys are going to work their butts off to try to defeat whatever it is she intends to put up. Now, in terms of the evidence, you can convict someone just as easily on circumstantial evidence as you can on direct evidence. This case would have been a circumstantial evidence case if she doesn't have any statements indicating who did what. But what we do know, and that is the public, and we only have probably one-tenth or one-eighth of the evidence that she's looked at. We've only looked at a video, and we looked at a police report. Okay, but those things give us some very good information to base an opinion, but not the overriding opinion. The video and the police report are just two pieces of evidence. I'm sure that Ms. Mosley has looked at thousands and thousands of pieces of evidence. Listen, as she indicated, listen to hours, watch hours of video. So for her to bring these charges, I'm gonna defer to her expertise and believe in my heart that she certainly has more than what meets the eye, and it's incumbent upon her to not divulge everything that she has. We just have to sit back and wait and see what's going to happen.
So that's part of the discovery process. That's something that comes out, that's sent to the attorneys. That's not something that you disclose to the public. And in many cases, as Jay Wendell knows, there are gag orders put on where we can't even discuss the evidence. There hasn't been one yet, but who knows if this these cases do go to trial, which I expect they will, that may be what happens.
Yeah, so we're arguing the same thing. We don't know what Marilyn Mosby considered before she made her decision. But I expect that for her to bring these charges, it wasn't some frivolous charge. Now, we also know that state attorneys routinely stack the charges. That is, they'll put the highest charge in the world and then put related offenses underneath those charges. That necessarily means that she can obtain a conviction for second-degree murder, but I think the opportunity for her to obtain a conviction for misconduct in office and possibly even manslaughter are very great. So while all of us are getting caught up on this second-degree murder charge, which may or may not be able to be proven given a crafty defense attorney's ability to mount a defense, those other charges, they're going to see some very dark days. I mean, it's going to be tough for them.
So let me come back to Tara, and then we'll open the phones right here. Tara Conley, I'm curious also that what I was alluding to, I guess, earlier was the fact that I really feel like this is because of the legal arguments against what Marilyn Mosby did in this case. And now she's just today, if I have this correct, and if I'm incorrect, please correct me, folks. But today, she made an announcement that that the curfew violators will not be prosecuted, and that people are saying the mayor didn't have a legal right to call the curfew. So when I say it's the politics of this state's attorney's office is changing the nature of what's going on is what I was alluding to. This seems like let me go to Tara real fast. Tara?
Yeah, you're spot on. What we're seeing here, like I was saying before, this is unusual. And I think what is so alluring about this case is because what Mosby has been doing since, you know, a couple weeks ago, she's been confronting head on the system. She's being very explicit about why she's doing it and who she's doing it for. I on just a personal note, I'm hoping that her and her family are safe because she is in the national spotlight. She is taking on this issue. She is taking on the system. She is taking on the police department. This case might, in fact, set a precedent for the next case to follow. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, very similar kind of city like Baltimore. Cleveland's next, right? So everybody's going to be looking at how prosecutors are going to react to cases like this that come up. And trust, this isn't going to be the last time we're going to see something like this. Mosby's 35 years old. She has a great background, assistant attorney in Baltimore from 2006 to 2011. And let's not forget, she has a family of police officers. She's from a family of police officers. So she's an interesting person in this situation. And, of course, she's going to continue to get criticized, again, these very trivial issues that I really don't think are important to discuss. Again, I think we have to appreciate what's happening in this moment and recognize that she's going to continue to get pushback from a legal perspective, from a political perspective, from a cultural, sociocultural perspective. And I just hope that her and her family are going to be safe throughout this, quite frankly.
What do you mean by that, Tara?
I mean, I think she is, first of all, she's a black woman. She's a young black woman. She's being very explicit about how she is taking on this case. I know there are people out there. Look, I'm on Twitter every day, and I know on Twitter it could be combative. So I can't imagine what it's like for her to go up against really an entire institution, an entrenched institution like the Baltimore Police Department, who has been protected by the status quo, who has been protected because there hasn't been a history of transparency. So, you know, she's got a tough job. And I agree with everyone who's on this panel today saying this is only the beginning. They still have to go through a criminal process. And it's going to be very difficult for her. And I know there are crazy people out there. And I hope that she will be protected throughout this situation. But I also think, too, that it is setting a precedent on many, many, many levels.
Be More Doc tweeted in, remember when she first got in office and there was a buzz about her replacing those attorneys, I wasn't buying it. Let me go to the phones here before we go back to our guests here and go to break. 410-319-8888 is the number. Bruce, you're on the air. Bruce, you there?
Yeah, I hear you. It isn't bad whether she's a black woman or not. So that's the number one thing. That's just showed bias right there. So the next thing is, I'm not an attorney, but you attorneys out there know and probably understand this better than I do. Isn't there a statue, a feminine statue in most courtrooms that's supposed to represent justice and the judicial system, and she has a blindfold? I was always led to believe that blindfold meant that there's no bias, particularly when she's a public servant. When she's made political statements so strongly on a regular basis, it does show a bias. As a prosecutor, she's only supposed to go by the letter of the law, not represent the Gray family, not represent the interests of the public, not represent the interests of any pundits, legislators, or anything. What does the law say? That's what it's all about. The fact that she's made a number of statements that were over the top politically and supported the movement instead of prosecuting the case, it's also going to taint the jury pool and going to bring a lot of bias. It'll be so difficult to get 12 unbiased people. I've had jury duty before, and it's not pleasant, and all people bring some kind of bias. That's just being part of being a human being. We're all
okay, Bruce, thanks. Wendell, do you want to respond first?
Wendell. 12 unbiased jurors to sit on any case. Okay, that's why we had the voir dire process to try to weed out those jurors who express bias in a case. I think that we will be able to see the jury in Baltimore City, but most likely those who are facing charges will opt to have a judge trial rather than a jury trial anyway. In terms of the media coverage and their inability to get a fair trial, the media has been blasted all over the world, so where else are you going to go in the great state of Maryland where you can find jurors who haven't heard about this case or who haven't been enthralled by this case? So, you know, there's no need to change venue from Baltimore City to any other venue because everybody's heard about this case and everybody has an opinion about it one way or another. In terms of Mosby's political statement, just because you disagree with a statement that Marilyn Mosby makes doesn't make it a political statement. It just means that she made a statement that you disagree with. So that's how I respond.
So let me say this, that we have to take a quick break here. Let me first ask, say, Wendell Gordon, thank you so much for being with us. I know you have to run. Tara Conley, can you stay with us for a few more minutes after break?
Yes, I can.
Great, perfect. So I have something to say. I'm going to read something out here and have something to respond to, and we'll be back with Tom Maronik as well. And your calls at 410-319-8888. Vivian, you're on line 3. You're coming up next for a comment. And there's another tweet from Be More Doc and a tweet from Fuzz Law. So we'll read those when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. That's Manic Depression, Jimi Hendrix, from his album Are You Experienced? It was released on this day in 1967. We're here with Thomas Maronik, who's a Baltimore attorney, host of The Tom Moore Show on WCBM, and of course Tara Conley, who is social media manager for Race Forward. And you all at 410-319-8888. Lawrence Brown tweeted in, remember when she, meaning Marilyn Mosby, first got in the office and there was a buzz about her replacing those attorneys? I wasn't buying it. She got results on the Bishop Heather Cook case then, and has gotten results from Freddie Gray case now. And I think, Tara, before we go to the phones here, I mean, this is one of the issues, I think, around Marilyn Mosby. I mean, people were talking about her before she got into office. She was on the show many times, several times before she won the election in her race. But saying, A, she was too young, too inexperienced. But what she's done since she's been there has been interesting. And again, this is, again, the politics of it. There was a, I don't know if you're familiar with this case, there was a bishop, a woman bishop, Episcopal bishop, who had a serious drinking problem and killed a biker, a cyclist in a wealthy white neighborhood in Baltimore. And people thought that she would not get indicted. She was, in fact, indicted. for that case. And then now we've seen her say the curfew violators will not be prosecuted because and that before that Freddie Gray. So there is a and then she was really critiqued because she let go a lot of prosecutors in the middle of their cases, bringing in new people. So there's something afoot here, and I think that it's caused a lot of consternation in the legal community and a lot of buzz in the larger community. And I think that's part of the political process, as you were referring to earlier, Tara, that we're seeing going on.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not a legal expert.
Neither am I.
Yeah, so, you know, the legalities of this, I'm sure the critiques are certainly, you know, warranted in many respects from a legal perspective. But, you know, I think this is, again, Mosby's moment. Critique is always welcome. She's a public figure. She's asserting herself, quite frankly, as, you know, someone who is certainly leading in her community. She's asserting herself as a leader of within a local community in Baltimore. So there's a lot of stuff that comes with that, right? I think what her background to me, from what I know, is impressive. She is young. She's doing this sort of work in front of the world. And I do think that, you know, we have to consider all of the systems that are at play, because this is really a case about police brutality. It is a case about systemic inequalities. It's a case about economic inequality. It's a case about racial inequality. And she's at the forefront of it. And I'm going to keep saying this. I know people don't think it's the right thing to say, but she's a Black woman at the center stage. And, you know, we know how we even treat Michelle Obama, the first lady. So imagine, you know, what Mosby here is dealing with. And that's not to play the victim or anything. It's just to say we have to realize what we're talking about. The caller before mentioned everybody has biases. Absolutely right. We all hold biases. We all hold particularly racial biases. So I'm always focused on, as a cultural critic, as someone who studies this stuff, I'm certainly focused on the way we read Mosby as just a human being in the world trying to go up against these systems using the judicial system. So I'm always going to be aware of those issues. Again, I'll continue to say I think she's got a mountain ahead of her. And I think her call for protesters, for young people in particular, to keep doing the work, it's inspirational. You don't hear that. And I know it's controversial.
Right.
I know it's provocative. But you know what? I'm glad to see it, and it's refreshing to hear.
Let me get a phone call here and come back. I realized, Wendell, I know you were still with us. You're still with us. Come back to Wendell.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with you as long. You know,
okay, cool. Great. Thank you. I thought you had to go to court, but thank you very much.
I do, but I'm going to stay as long as I can.
Thank you. 410-319-8888. Let's get some calls in here. Let's go to line three. Vivian?
Yeah.
Or is it Vivian? Vivian?
Yes, Vivian.
Vivian. Hi, Vivian.
Vivian, yes. Hi. I agree with what the lady was just talking about, Marilyn Mosby. You know, I think it's a fresh voice. She's young. And, you know, I voted for her. And at first I was like, oh, no. But you know what? She's coming out blazing, and I'm glad, because we need to start hearing the truth. A lot of people don't, think that it is a high amount. I mean, the FOP, but you know what? I'm praying for, and I hope that all of Baltimore and the whole nation prays for, because I think that she's really out for the truth. And there's no way she's going to have all these charges and stuff and not do her homework. Come on, we elected her. We elected her here in Baltimore, and I really believe that she's going to do the best that she can, along with people that, you know, really trust in what she's doing. I believe that she's standing up for the truth, and that's what we need. And the FOP, I mean, there's things they need to get. That whole system needs to get revamped. They probably got bylaws and all way from back in the 60s when it was Jim Crow in the 50s. So I think I'm glad that she's, you know, shaking things up. And we have to remember, as the people in Baltimore, that we voted for her. Let her do her job. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. Let's get another caller in here. We'll come right back to your guests with some comments here before we go. Kadri, you've been calling, holding on for a while. You're on the air. Welcome. Hi, Kadri, are you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm sorry.
Good morning.
I want to agree with that lady and the lady before, and Mark Steiner, when the lady said, I hope she's safe. You asked her what you meant, as if you didn't know. Well, what? You know, I was thinking about the same thing when she first started, that they're going to assassinate her because this is what they do. You have the nerves. I put you in this position, high position in this country, with these laws that were never made with us in mind or for us, and you got the nerve to turn against me. That's not why they put black people in offices like that. So she's totally going against the grain. They hate her, and they want her out of there. Last thing I want to say, Susan Sondheim, I believe, said it years ago that America was the cancer of the world, and Elijah Muhammad said it even better. He said they was the skunk of the earth. Everywhere they went, they left their stench, and I am so sorry. They also told them they wouldn't wear white robes in the future. They'd be in blue uniforms and black robes. Go figure, and I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
And let's go to Marie and then come back to our panelists and get some final thoughts from our panelists. Marie, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marie.
Mr. Steiner, now, I happen to be reading something about grand juries that I didn't know. Three pointers. I'll make them very brief. Grand juries virtually always hand down indictments against the accused persons.
Right.
Number two, grand juries almost never hear testimony from the accused person. Number three, grand juries do what the prosecutor wants them to do. There is a famous saying that a prosecutor could get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. And lastly, this may be kind of strong, some caller called in at another show today and said that white people are at war with black people, but not the other way around. And I'd go for Miss Mosley if I was able to stand at her house with a gun or something to, you know, to protect her. I would. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I might say that maybe there's a racist system in our country that's at war with the people. I wouldn't say white people are at war with black people in America, though. 410-319-8888. Let me, closing thoughts. Thomas, why don't you jump in? We haven't heard from you in a minute.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say regarding Jay Wendell's comment, no, I do not think this case will be tried in Baltimore City. I think this will end up probably on the Eastern Shore. I think there's a big difference between the media coverage in Baltimore versus other places. Yes, it's been on national news, but I think people in Baltimore are deeply affected by this. I think uniquely affected by this case. And I think they're going to come in with some sort of bias, and I think it would be very difficult to get a truly unbiased jury, or at least one that would have that appearance after voir dire. So, no, I do not think this case will be held here. As far as the caller's comments, yes, usually grand juries will indict, but obviously, as we know from Eric Garner, that doesn't happen every time. And as far as the pressure, yeah, any time a prosecutor is put in this kind of spotlight, I think we can take race and gender out of this. She's the elected official. She's in a high-intensity media case. Sure, there's going to be a spotlight, and I think that has nothing to do with race or gender in a majority black city. I think that has to do with just the nature of the job, and I think Maryland so far has stood up very well to that media intensity.
Thank you so much. Wendell?
Well, I just think that Marilyn Mosby, she's doing a great job. She has a tough job ahead. And I'll be the first to tell you, I did not support Marilyn Mosby when she was running in the general election.
I remember.
I did not.
Right.
And I didn't criticize her because I was still proud of her nonetheless for running in the primary. But she has impressed me one time after another. To me, she currently is a rock star. And I'm here to defend, unfortunately, my bias will show. I'm here to defend her tooth and nail because I think she's doing a great job. I think she's got a tough job ahead of her. And, you know, the case is not won 100% with a conviction. I think that she's achieved some victories right now just by having the courage and the fortitude to stand before the world and say, you know what? You officers are going to be indicted. You guys committed a crime. And she's shaking up the police force. And I appreciate that because they need to be shaken up. I mean, they act like whiny, spoiled brats sometimes, like they're supposed to have certain things go their way, and no one is supposed to challenge them as if they're beyond reproach. So I'm happy that she has the courage to stand for the people instead of the institutions that have done harm to this community for such a long time.
Thank you, Wendell Gordon. Always good to have you with us as well. And Tom Moore. And Tara, a very quick closing thought here as we go to break.
Yeah, very quickly. I think we all recognize the job, the tough job that Moses has ahead of her. I absolutely disagree that that race and gender do not have anything to do with this, because they do. But I think this is also a human story as much as it is about, you know, issues that dealing with police brutality and systemic issues. And I just, you know, I hope that it ends right, it ends well. And I do hope that everyone involved, including the families of victims and the people who are advocating for Freddie Gray, as well as Mosby, are, you know, taking into consideration that this is a tough issue, and, you know, we all have to be on the same page. So I wish the best to the city of Baltimore and everything.
Tara Conley, great to have you on the show. Hope you'll come back and visit us again. It was wonderful having you with us.
Yes.
I appreciate Wendell Gordon and Tom Roenick for taking the time out of the day as lawyers to join us here for this conversation. Thank you both as well.
Thanks,
Mark.
And thank you all very much. And we're going to take a very brief break and talk a bit about what happened last night in the stadium and more with our dear friend in studio, Milton Kent.